Nehemiah chapter 8, the book of Nehemiah chapter number 8. I'm going to conclude a message I began this morning on the book. And I'm encouraged that we have the book in our hands tonight. Amen. We praise the Lord for the Bible and what He's given to us. We've been preaching through the book of Nehemiah together and come to Nehemiah chapter 8. Let me just read one verse here. We'll read verse number 1. And then we'll proceed with this message entitled The Book, that's found in verse number 1, verse number 3, verse 5, verse 8, and verse number 18. Look at just verse number 1 tonight for time's sake. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book, there it is, the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now let's pray together and we'll continue with this thought. Our Father, we love You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Mr. and Mrs. Tidd being with us. Thank You for their obvious love for You and for each other. I pray that You'll raise the support that they need to get to the mission field there in Utah. And I pray that You'll help us tonight as we focus again upon the book, Your Word. Praise Your name for giving us the book tonight. We love You and appreciate what You've done for us. Help us now as we continue in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we're looking at the book in this chapter, as I identified this morning, the book is the book of the law of God. Now, what we're looking at is the very word of Almighty God. Now, this morning, we're sharing with you three separate things about the book. First of all, we noticed this morning the respect that was given for the book in their desire for it, in their devotion to it, and then in their defining of it. Now, tonight, we come to the second major point that's brought out in verses 9 to 17. I'm not going to read all that because I'll be corresponding with it as we proceed through this. But major point number two. Number one is the respect for the book. Number two, the response to the book. Now we see this in verses 9 to 17. And in these particular verses, we see the way that these dear people responded to the book as they heard it read and heard it explained to them. Now as we look at their response together, we can all receive some guidance in our own lives. Now, there are two specific responses that I see that these people had concerning the book of the law of God. There's two words I want to give you. First of all, under this, it was the response of sorrow. Now, we see this in verses 9 and following. Look at it with me. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Get it? Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy under our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. Notice in verse number 9, the Bible says when they heard it, they wept. Verse number 10, he tells them not to be sorry. Verse number 11, he tells them not to be grieved. Now, in all of this, what we see is that in these verses, we see the first response that these dear people had to the book was one of genuine sorrow. In other words, they were convicted as they heard and understood the words of the law being read and explained to them. They were broken before God as His holy book was being read to them, and they realized how evil they and their country had been towards the book that was being read to them. You know, this goes to show that the Word of God convicted these dear people of their sin. And in the same way tonight, the Word of God, the book if you will, it still convicts us of our sin today. You know, this is one of the major and wonderful works of the book in our lives. It shows us where we're wrong. And may I say to you that I'm encouraged with a number of folks who came forward saying, I want to begin to read my Bible every day. We're such encouraged with that this morning. And I trust many others did it in the privacy of their seat. But my point here tonight, the response to it, is that one reason why some people do not read it is because they don't like what they hear. They don't like having the wrongs pointed out in their life. And may I say something to you, that when God convicts you through His Word, it's to help you, not to hurt you.
And I'm saying tonight that the first response that these people had to the book was one of sorrow. And as we read the book, let us pray for the tenderness that these dear people had for it and ask the Lord to break us just like He broke them. In Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I want you to hold your place here. Turn with me back to the book of 2 Kings. Hold your place in Nehemiah chapter 8. We noticed this morning the respect for the book in their desire, their devotion, and their defining of it. Tonight we're noticing the response to the book. And in this, there's a twofold response. First of all, it's the response of sorrow. As they heard the word of God, they were pricked in their heart. They were broken before God. They were tender to hear the word of God. And the same way, we need to learn that same lesson. That when God speaks to us and says, hey, you're wrong right there, may God help us to be broken. And God help us to thank Him for the book that points out when we're wrong and convicts us when we're not doing what He wants us to do. In 2 Kings chapter 22, verse number 8, it says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, now the king is Josiah, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, right here. I'm in 1 Kings, excuse me. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse number 8. This is Josiah here. Verse number 8. Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. Then, if you'll notice in verse number 18 with me, the Bible says, but to the king of Judah, this is God speaking. And what's happened is Josiah has asked him to do something for him. Hilkiah, he finds the book of the law as he's cleaning up. And he comes back and said, I found the book. He gives it to Shaphan. Shaphan reads it to Josiah. Josiah has a tender heart. God's convicting him, showing him where the nation has gone wrong. He goes and says, inquire for us what's going on. God says, you have sinned. Your nation has sinned. And God is speaking in verse number 18. Notice it. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, touching the words which thou hast heard. Now notice verse 19. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. You know what we need in our lives? We need a steady diet of the Word of God. And as His words convict us and show us, hey, big boy, hey, lady, right there's where you're wrong, may we have the same spirit that Josiah had. And may we be tenderhearted, humbling ourselves. These dear people in the book of Nehemiah had the response of sorrow in their life. King Josiah had this same response. Let us all ask God to give us a sorrowful heart. I'm saying that it's God's word that convicts us. It's God's word that shows you that you're a sinner. It's God's word that points you to Christ. It's God's word that says you've done wrong, but yet Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That's the book we're talking about. And we are blessed tonight to have the book in our hands. No doubt about it. An influential Christ rejecter several years ago was genuinely saved in a church service. The pastor's heart was overjoyed, but when he asked this new convert who was just an influential Christ, he didn't want anything to do with Christ, but he came and got saved in a church service. And the pastor asked this new convert what it was in his sermon that brought him to God. The convert said, and I quote, it wasn't your sermon, sir. It was your text.
In other words, it wasn't what the preacher said, it's what the Word of God had said. And in the same way, we notice the response of sorrow. May I say something to you? Godly sorrow is helpful. If you ever get convicted when you read the Bible, join the club. If you read the Bible and never get convicted, then listen, there's something wrong with you. Because if you can read the book and never feel bad, if you can read the book and never have a cut in your life, a cut in your heart, something's wrong somewhere. Because the Word of God will prick you and say, there's where you need help. Wait a minute, there's where you've fallen short. Wait a minute, that's not right. Wait a minute, you know I said that. That's one of the wonderful works of God's Word. And we're noticing the response to it, first of all, was sorrow. But secondly, we notice in verses 12 to 17, it was one of submission. Not only a response of sorrow, but secondly, a response of submission. If you notice in verses 12 and following, it says, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief and the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites, and the Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Now in this, I don't know if you see what I see, but in these verses, the main response we see in the book in these verses was one of submission. In other words, whatever the book told them to do, that's exactly what they did. They lived in obedience to the book. We see right here that when they understood the words, just like whenever Nehemiah stood up and these other people stood up and saw them weeping, and they said, wait a minute, this is not a time of weeping, it's a time of joy. See, they were broken, but they were broken here, but it was a time of feasting. And at that time, it was God's will for them to be joyful and rejoice in Jesus Christ. And when they understood that, they began to obey it. They began to listen to what the book had told them to do. And in all of this, they find out later in verse number 13 that they're coming together. They're saying, I want to understand this book. I want to know what it's telling me. And one thing they found in verse number 14 is that they were to be making themselves booths to be dwelling in. And they realized they had not been doing that. So immediately they said, boy, let's start cutting trees down. Let's make this right tonight. And I'm telling you, what I see here is that they have the joy of the Lord as their strength. In verses 14 to 17, we find them dwelling in booths here, and we see in all of this no sign of hesitation. They simply got busy, and they sat under the booths. They made the booths. They sat under them. To us, you're like, what does it matter? Here's what it matters. It was in the book for them to do. And when they realized that the book told them to do this, they submitted to that in their life. And they said, we will make booths because God told us to make booths. We will dwell in booths because God told us to dwell in booths. By the way, this was their way of remembering the wilderness wandering when they were dwelling in tents. God wanted them to be reminded of how he had tenderly guided them through the wilderness wandering. And all I'm trying to say here is that they understood something. This book was not man's book. This book is God's book. And if God says dwell in booths, then that's what we're going to do around here. Amen. Let me say something to you. It's a special note also that the same month that they called for the book to be brought was the same month that they were to be dwelling in booths. But you say, what's the importance of that? I'm saying God's word's always on time. God knows what you need to do now. He knows what the will of God in your life is now. And I'm saying don't skip parts of the Word of God. You read it consistently, consecutively, because it's amazing. When you need something from God, he has you right where he wants you to be. It's amazing to me. Amazing. And I'm saying, just like these people
had the response not only of sorrow being broken before God because they had broken His law, they had the response of submission, saying, God wants us to dwell in booths. Boys, go start cutting down some trees. It's time to make this right. And I'm saying to you tonight that life for a child of God has been simplified. Think with me just a moment. We are simply to be brought, listen to me here, we are simply to search the Scriptures and then whatever it says to do, do it. If God says to do something in the book, do it. If God says don't do something in the book, don't do it, for crying out loud. It's simplified. It is such a simple thing when you just live in obedience and submission to the book of God. I don't understand what's so hard with people just saying, wait a minute, we'll be faithful to church because God tells us to be faithful to church. We'll read the Bible because God tells us to read the Bible. We'll go soul winning because God tells us to go soul winning. I'm asking, is there anything in this life that you are not submitting to God in the book? The Word of God says in James 1:22 and following, it says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's powerful scripture. God saying his word is a mirror. It shows you the truth. You can't lie. Listen to me, folks. A mirror is not going to lie to you. You have a scratch on your face, it's going to expose it. Hey, you have that dreaded acne or whatever it's called. Whatever the case may be. You have a bump. You have a zit on your face, for crying out loud. You might can hide it some ways, but the mirror is going to tell you the truth. The Word of God is going to tell you exactly what you are. The Word of God is going to show you exactly where you need to change. And whenever God tells you in the book you do this, the Christian life is yes, sir. They had a response of submission. Now I want to ask you, is there anything right now in the book that you are not being submissive? I'm talking about submissive in. Is it Bible reading? Is it witnessing? Is it giving? Is it church attendance? Is it praying? What is it? Is there any area in this book here that God says, I want you to do that or I don't want you to do that, but you've not submitted in that? We notice these people were submissive to the Word of God. You know what's interesting? In verse number 17, the latter part of it, after they had been broken before God, and after they understood the Word of God and they started submitting to it, notice verse number 17, the last phrase, and there was a very great gladness. You may tell you how to have great gladness in your life. Submit to the Word of God. Do whatever God tells you to do. You know, it's amazing how many people, and we're all guilty of it, we're all sinners. Do you amaze yourself sometimes at what you do and what you don't do? I do. Just like Paul said, the things I want to do I don't do, and the things I don't want to do I wind up doing them. Anybody identify with that? We're crazy, aren't we? But yet God's so patient. And all I'm saying to you is, under the response of the book here, they were sorrowful when they heard it. They were repentant. They were broken. They didn't pass the buck and say that to somebody. No, they got broke. They were weeping. By the way, the Bible says all the people wept. What in the world would happen in a church like this? And God's blessed our church. Good night, He's blessed our church. Praise God for it. Yes. But what would happen if when the book of God was being read, if the entire congregation broke before God? I mean, every one of us weeping, broken, and saying, God, I need help there, and there, and there, and there. And I'll tell you what, Lord, if you'll tell me what to do, we'll do it from now on. That's revival, is what that is. We're noticing here tonight, we're looking at the book together. Number one, the respect for it. Number two, we're noticing, what was my second point? Response to it.
Then number three, it's found in verse number 18. Notice verse number 18. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. Notice the first phrase there. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Number one, the respect for it. Number two, the response to it. Number three, the remaining in it. And what I mean by that is, folks, they stayed in the Word of God day by day by day by day. Now, I know that this is the Feast of Tabernacles, but I'm trying to emphasize something here. These folks didn't just have the Bible read to them one day and say, that's enough. No. They came back the next day, and they came back the next day, and they came back the next day, and every day you see them remaining in the book. What I'm saying here is they didn't skip days. They were not a person who read the Bible 5 days a week. Now, before you say anything, I understand that five is better than four, and five is better than three, and three is better than two, and two is better than one. I understand all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. It is the will of God for every single solitary day for His children to be remaining in the book. Yes. That's the will of God for our life. God's children should get into the habit of remaining in the book. In other words, throughout the duration of our God-given lifetime, may the words be written across our life like it was written right here, back in this day, verse number 18, day by day. From the first day unto the last, he read in the book of the law of God. What a way to spend your life right there. Do not let one day go by without spending some time reading in the book. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. See if these things were so. Deuteronomy 17:19, it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. God speaking about the king, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. You know, really, when you think about it, this kind of goes back to what I was preaching about this morning. When you're talking about remaining in the book, I'm saying that you ought to allow the Lord to work in your life so much that if today is the last day you have, it's been a day where you've been in the book. And you make a decision that if God gives you 300 more days or 3,000 more days or whatever more days, you ought to make a decision that you're going to remain in the book all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Now this chapter in Nehemiah is a powerful chapter. And it's all under the emphasis of the book, the book, the book. The people said, bring the book. Ezra, bring us the book. We want to hear the book. Help us understand the book. And in all that we see the respect for it. We see when they heard it, their response to it, they wept sorrow. They were burdened. They were convicted. That's not a bad thing, folks. And then they were submissive. Whatever God said to do, that's exactly what they did. And then we noticed they're remaining in it. You would think that maybe when they started getting convicted, they'd say, wait a minute, good night. Hold on right there, boys. Ezra, I've heard enough. They didn't want that. See, they knew in their heart it was helping. You see what I'm saying? So they said the next day, the second day, bring the book again. Hey, the third day, hey, don't forget the book. The fourth day, hey, I don't care what you forget, but bring the book again. The fifth day, hey, bring the book, folks. The 300th day, let me tell you one thing, I can do without my food, but I can't do without the book. Bring the book. I'm saying to you tonight, let us get a steady dose of the Word of God. Do you love that book? Do you? Are you proving it? Are you respecting it? How are you responding to it? Are you remaining in it? There's a song I brought with me tonight. And I know you love it when I sing. laughing at. Mr. Kaiser. Good night, I love that man. He's up there, Mr. Curley now, Mr. Curley. I believe they've probably met, you know. Both of them had a major influence in my life. One of his sermons that he's known by is what I read out of 2 Kings. When Hilkiah come back and said, I found the book. And he preached a message on I found the book. And then he went out and he wrote a song about it. I'm going to sing it for you. I'm not going to ask you who all is looking forward to this because I don't want you to lie to me. But I thought this would be a fitting way to end this message on the book. I want you to listen to this song. I found the book with many authors, yet one inspired all its pages to tell of God's Son. Prophets had promised what the angels proclaimed. The virgin-born Savior, Jesus Christ, is His name. He walked Calvary's road all the way to the cross. Forsaken by God, He suffered great loss. Then a journey through hell for me He took. I know it is true, for I found the book. He rose from the dead on that first Easter morn. Amen. The truth is the truth in spite of the scorn. He's coming again with a mighty trumpet sound. This too is taught in the book I have found. Then the chorus goes, I found the book that tells the sweet story of Jesus, my Savior. Resplendent in glory, with great love He has loved me. All my sin He took, I sing of salvation. For I found the book. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? Not beautifully sung, I know that, but it's a beautiful song. And I am thrilled, literally thrilled tonight, that I hold the book in my hand. That's the book right there. That's the book right there. And may God help us to be faithful to the book at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. May we respect it. May we respond right to it, and may we remain in it all the days of our life. Amen. And may the Lord add His blessing to this message. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for the Word of God we hold in our hands. We thank You, our Father, for the King James Version that we hold true here at this church. And I pray that You'll help us to be faithful to Your Word. Help us to be exactly what You'd have us to be. And we thank You that, spiritually speaking, we have also found the book tonight. Just like Hilkiah found it, we too have found it. We want to praise You for it. Help us truly as Your people to respect the book, to respond right to it, that when it convicts us, that we get broken before You and honest with God, and that we start being submissive to it, simply obeying what it tells us to do. And finally, Lord, help us to remain in Your Word all the days of our life. Help us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Let me start this off by asking this. According to the book, not your thoughts, but according to the book, are you a child of God? Know the Lord is your Savior. Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? May I say to you tonight that if you have never done that, there was a time when I was lost as well. But the preaching of the book convicted me. And I said yes to Jesus Christ. And He saved me. And if you're lost tonight, He wants to do the same for you. Is there one? Is there two? Is there three? Is there any? And say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. I just need to know how to proceed. Is there anybody tonight say, Jody, pray for me. According to the book, I'm concerned that I'm not a there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are searching. Again, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody at all like that? Well, let me ask you this question. This morning I dealt with the desire, devotion, and defining of it. So tonight, let me just simply deal with this. How are you responding with the Bible? Are you living in submission to the Word of God? Have y'all tonight say, Jody, I'm not perfect and I know that. But I am trying. God knows my heart. I'm trying to live in submission to the Word of God. If you can say, now you're not perfect. I'm not asking that. You say, I'm trying to be submissive to the Word of God. Now listen. If there's an area in your life that you know God's telling you to do something and you're not doing it, please don't raise your hand to this. Or vice versa, if there's an area that He's telling you to do something and you're not doing it, or not do something and you are doing it, please don't respond like that. Have you say, Jody, I'm not perfect. I'll be the first to say that, but I am trying to be in submission. I really am. If that's you, be honest. Raise your hand up in the air with mine, please. You say, I'm trying to do that. God bless you. That's a good number of you. Thank you. Please don't ever let that change. Here tonight, you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that. Now, you understand, if you respond to this next question, it might simply be something that you're not supposed to be doing that you are doing, or it could be something that you should be doing, like read your Bible, pray, be faithful to church, whatever, soul winning, something that He's told you to do that you've not submitted to. It could be either or. Maybe say, Jody, I know of an area in my own life where I need to respond. Like the people in Nehemiah, I need to simply say, wait a minute, He wants me to have a booth? Go start cutting down some trees. You understand what I'm asking you there? Maybe you know an area in your life like that where you need to start cutting some trees down and getting busy making a booth. You understand, I hope, what I'm asking. Maybe you know an area like that in your life. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air, please. You know an area in your life like that? Yes, that's several hands. May the Lord help you to respond in just a moment. Would you do it? I challenge all of us just to simply remain in the Bible. Don't ever let a day go by when you're not feasting upon the Word of God. May the Lord touch you and help you with this. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this message, use it. Help folks to be convicted tonight, broken tonight. Help those who respond and say, I need to start cutting down some spiritual trees. I need to start building a booth. There's something God wants me to do or doesn't want me to do, and I need to just simply submit to Him. And I want to do that tonight. Help me to respond, please. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to respond, you know who you are. As soon as Brother Gary begins to sing, would you leave your place and come and say, God, I want to start building my booth tonight. I want to do my booth tonight. If God's spoken to you in that way, would you come? As Brother Gary sings, please leave your place. Do it now. Would you do it? Come on now.
Jesus,
I do believe that when God speaks, you ought to respond. And I want to challenge you, if you need to spiritually start cutting down some trees, making some booths, there's an area where you just need to simply submit. I know you can do that right there at the privacy of your seat. And I want to invite you to come to the altar and say, God, I mean business with this. I want to be submissive. I really do. May the Lord help you. Brother Gary sings the next verse. If God is dealing with you, leave your place. Would you come? Come on now.
I surrender all.
this way. I want to be dismissed in prayer in just a moment. But you know what I preach today, even though it's in a series? If we will get in this book and love it and respect it, respond right to it and remain in it, it takes care of so many other things. It really does. This is where it's at. There it is. Let's respect it. Amen. Let's respond right to it. Let's remain in it all of our days. Guest, I remind you, please take your card out the back, drop it off at the welcome center. Please get in the habit of shaking hands around you as you dismiss. Try to get to know some people that maybe don't look familiar to you. Walk over to them, introduce yourself. They say, I've been here all my life. Say, oops, that's my fault, but forgive me, but I, you know, at least I know you now. See what I'm saying? May the Lord help us with this. Amen. God bless you. Brother Marty Strock, sir.